And we're back here, and we're back here with our guest, Senator Arlen Meekhoff. Good morning, Arlen.
Morning, Duke. Good morning, listeners. Happy New Year.
And what are we going to talk about today? Money.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about money, but I want to briefly inform your listeners a little bit about what I think the governor's going to say this Thursday
yeah.
at the State of the State. And I think you're going to see the governor talk in a little bit different way in terms of telling a story. The narrative of where Michigan was, where it is, what kind of things have been successful, how we've been able to call Michigan the comeback state, a number of things like that. And I think you're gonna hear him say, you know, there's not gonna be blame assigned, there's not gonna be credit taken. It's just gonna say, look, we had a tough spot that we were in, and we found a way to get out of it, and found a way to make Michigan more profitable, more beneficial, more attractive for business owners and people to stay here in Michigan. And I think he's gonna talk about that in some detail. I'm sure he's going to talk about unemployment, where the rate was where
yeah.
when he took office to where it is now. And I must give Ottawa County a big plug, because it was just noted that we're down to 5.8% unemployment.
Pretty good, huh?
And I'm hearing from a lot of employers that they're having trouble getting some qualified people to
mm-hmm.
fill some of the jobs. So that's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is.
But that also means that in our education system and some of our other opportunities to help in job training, we've got to fit people in the right spots so that they have the skills they need to be qualified to get those jobs that people want to have filled. I think the governor's going to talk about the financial rating of the state. I think one of the overarching principles that the governor discussed with leadership group was we have to show the public that we can do a good job with a budget, meaning let's get it done on time, let's make difficult decisions, let's invest in our priorities, make the tough cuts where we have to make the cuts, and give the public some sense of some credibility that we know what we're doing with the budget. And we've done that 3 years in a row, on time, complete, no smoke and mirrors, and some difficult choices in
yeah.
there. This has resulted in the state being upgraded in its financial rating, and that would be Fitch, Standard & Poor's, and things like that. So that means that when we have to borrow money, if we have to borrow money as a state or a local government or a school system, we get a great bond rating on the money that we have to borrow, because our creditworthiness is good. It's like your credit score or one of your listeners. It's your personal credit score. This is the credit score of the state. And the financial people that look at it say, yes, Michigan, you're doing a really good job now balancing your budget, doing the things that you need to do to be financially sound. Again, management of the state budget is something that you expect the CPA to do. The governor's a CPA. And I think he's going to point out we were in some dire straits in the way we were spending, the way we were investing, and we, in our rainy day fund, as we call it, had literally about enough money to run state government for 20 minutes.
We seem to have lost our way.
Yeah, we had lost our way. And through the way we've invested in the budget and things that we've done, there's now $600 million in that rainy day fund. So it's basically just like your checkbook, like your savings account.
Yeah.
You were down to a few pennies, and now you've put quite a bit of money in there, and you've done a good job with that. We've paid down significant debts. I mean, at one point, the state had $50 billion of unfunded liabilities. That means promises we had made into the future for retirement benefits, retirement health care, and a bunch of other things like that, and we restructured those and knocked off about $20 billion, or between $18 and $20 billion of that unfunded liability. That's money that our kids and our grandkids are going to have to pay, and we've knocked that way down. And we've paid down our credit card. All the stuff that we could that was on short-term borrowing, we've paid down, we've reconsolidated debt, done all the things that we can do to reduce some things there. We've restructured unemployment insurance. We were in debt to the federal government almost $2 billion, and we restructured that, and now that cash flows in the right way. And I will add, unemployment insurance is paid by employers, not paid by
right.
by taxpayers. So we have done some different things on regulatory reform. For every new regulation or law that we put in place, we've reduced others by 10. So we've gone through the structure and said there's just things that we simply don't need to do. We've taken some votes to retain spending, and yet trying to be responsible for the things that we need to do. Again, a number of other things that we've done. Workers' compensation, we looked at that, and that almost had not been and had any review in almost 50 years, and we restructured that, so now it is also more business friendly. All of these things are contributing towards what I think the story in the last week or two was the the stopping or the outflow of Michigan residents that were leaving to go to other states that has stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not saying that they're returning at a rapid rate, but there's some. But the story now is from the moving companies, maybe Michigan isn't a good place to do business because people aren't leaving Michigan now. I think that's a great story to be told, and I think Governor's going to talk about that a lot. And he's going to talk about the work that is yet to be done.
Yep.
And there's a lot left to do. He's going to call Michigan the comeback state, and I believe he's correct. And he's going to call Detroit one of the comeback cities, and I believe that will be correct. There's lots of great things happening in Detroit, and I hope he tells that story on Thursday evening, because I think, and I've said it on this program, strange for a West Michigan legislator to say it, but as a healthy Detroit is good for all of us.
Right.
And once they get their balance sheet cleaned up, I think the new mayor is going to do a great job, and I think they're going to move forward. And it won't be easy, and it won't be short term, but it will be something that we can be proud of. I think the governor's going to talk a little bit about how he's transformed through his department heads the customer service model. Now, that's not true of every department in state right now, but there's a lot of departments that have really improved the way they interact with their customer, meaning the taxpayer. And from DEQ to Treasury to MDOT, a lot of folks have now taken the governor's model and saying they serve the public. Let's make sure that they act that way and they interact that way with the public. Another thing I think he's going to talk about is the auto industry. I mean, that has been a significant increase in auto sales from this time last year. I think if I was on the program last month, I think I said truck sales from last year to this year are up 50%. 50%, and those are the models they also make the most money on. So there's a lot of activity around auto and truck sales, and the auto show starts this week in Detroit. So it'll be another feather in the cap for Michigan, I believe. Now, I want to talk briefly just about the budget surplus, and I think we have some opportunity. And this will probably generate some calls because I think there's been lots of discussion about what do we do with it.
Right.
Okay. It's very much for the lack of a better term, the money's burning a hole in your pocket, right?
Yep.
Everybody's got an idea. How do we spend it? Well, we also have to look at a number of things. We still have some debt. Okay. We still have roads that we secured money for many years ago under Governor Engler. Is there opportunity to pay off some more debt? I think that's an opportunity. And it would be very much like your household. If there was found money but your roof was leaking, if there's deferred maintenance you've been doing, you got to think about some of the things that need to be done around your house to make sure it doesn't cost you more money going forward. So a little bit of money now may make it better and cost you less in the future or remove those costs at all or avoid those costs at all. So I think there's some things there. I believe one of the things that really should be invested in is our roads. Now, this may be the opportunity to take the tax increase discussion off the table. Apply this money towards roads. That would only be one-time funding because you don't know next year if the budget would produce that much revenue. But again, that would be one of those deferred maintenance things that I think that we've been talking about. We haven't invested in infrastructure, and we have a huge investment in our taxpayer money already in those roads. So I think that is a couple of things we need to look at.
And we got a call. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Well, I think that's the most intelligent thing we could do with it. The governor has been walking around saying, I'll find money somewhere for these roads. There it is. Why not apply it right there, as he says?
Sure. I would agree with you. And if the number is $1.1 billion, we need about $1.2 billion every year for 10 years. That's my point. We need to find a way to fund it.
Turn my radio on to hear you, but I think you said that. But something is better than nothing.
That's correct. And if this takes the tax increase off the table, I think that's the way we want to go.
We've been crying about taking care of this problem. But if we start, then we can keep finding things, perhaps. But at least we can devote this part to that part. What my feeling is that everybody thinks that it's just the automobiles that should pay for the roads. And, of course, we know the income from gasoline tax is going down, and we're trying to sell cars that don't use any gasoline at all. But the reality is everybody that buys a tube of toothpaste at the grocery store or the drugstore or a head of lettuce uses those roads. Everybody uses all the roads because all our product comes to us eventually over the road.
Right.
You go to church, you're using the road. If you never spend a dime on gasoline, you're still using, I mean, if you ride a bicycle, you're using the road. So we cannot just say that gasoline tax has to carry the burden, and that people, only the people that drive expensive cars have to carry the burden. Everybody has to carry the burden because everybody uses the roads, whether they drive on them or not.
Yeah.
If you want your relatives to come and visit you, you use the roads.
Well, wait, don't go so far there. Maybe we don't
want
that.
You still use the roads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
End of comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, his excellent point all the way around what he just described. Even if you only live at home, or even if you live in a nursing home, your materials get delivered to the nursing home. Your mail gets delivered. All kinds of things. Until we can figure out how to deliver things by drone, which apparently some folks are thinking about, it's going to be a lot of use of roads. And that interstate system is there along with local roads. And that's probably my biggest challenge, is how to get the money to the local roads, because that seems to be one of the bigger issues, local roads. And that is going to be some sort of a challenge. I believe it will be, because the governor's talking about rewriting Public Act 51, which is from 1951. But basically the way the money is divided, it would be proportional to help local roads. But he wants to change it so it goes to lane miles traveled, which means where most of the traffic is where most of the money would be spent. So some rural counties would really be in some desperate straits in under that formula. So that's going to be a challenge that we have to overcome yet as well.
All of us at Dykstra Funeral Home can promise your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
Senator Arlen Meekhoff, our guest here on Talk of the Town. Our line is open if you'd like to talk to him, 395-1450, and we'd be happy to talk to you this morning. Okay.
I think some other things we need to talk about is there's surplus money in the school aid fund.
Yes.
Generated more than what we anticipated, which is good, which most of that is generated on home sales and the valuation of homes. So that means that there's more activity, there's more value being created there, a la Proposal A. That's what happens there. So if indeed there is a surplus there, and I believe there will be shown that there is, I think there's an opportunity here to help convert some of these systems that are not failing very well, or not faring very well, in terms of pensions, and turning them over to like 401ks. That's something we attempted to do last year, but now we have a bunch of money again. Maybe we can do that. Again, there's a place where we can pay down some debt, some future liabilities, which we need to do, which for most people, if you understand this, that actually adds to the state budget, because we're actually paying off a bill, so that shows it as an expense. So yes, the state budget dollar amount will probably go up because we pay off some of these debts. And here's one of the things I think is going to be the most tricky. We have some districts that probably should not be districts. We should consolidate some. There's 580 school districts, I think, in the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
580 school districts will all have a superintendent, who all have a director of transportation, who all have a director of food service. There's got to be some economies of scale if we could consolidate some. Now, I would do it with the carrot approach. If there's some way to do it, you help them with some one-time money to help consolidate them, and maybe you help reduce that overhead. I think that makes imminent sense. That does cause people in a rural area, or in some of the areas that are going to be combined, cause them heartburn.
Oh, yes.
It really does, because there are in a lot of areas, the school district is the biggest employer, not necessarily in Holland.
And the center for activities.
In the center for activities. And I've even had people call me at the office and say, my son will never wear X and X football helmet, and we're not consolidating with another school district because they'll never be blah. So, I mean, there's a lot of intensity around and identity around the school system. So those aren't going to be easy things to do. I mean, we even seen it in Grand Rapids, where two small districts wanted to share a superintendent, and the folks rose up and said that they didn't want that. So there's some things that I think we can do there, helping them reduce some of their cost of transportation, maybe improving or adding to their technical ability, so they can do classes remotely. I think there's just lots of things that we could do to invest that will cost us money less in the forward going parts of our budget. This governor is going to tell a great story. He's going to connect well. Obviously, he's running for re-election. He hasn't officially said it yet, but I'm pretty sure this is probably the kickoff of that, and he will very shortly. But and again, a great story to tell. There's a guy who does not need this job.
Yeah.
He isn't beholden to anybody. He looks at a problem. He fixes a problem. He moves on to the next problem. He's almost apolitical, but he's a really, really smart guy. And I think all of your listeners should pay attention to what the governor's going to say on Thursday. He will roll out some challenges to the citizens and to the legislature about how we position Michigan to be that state. Our economic recovery has been rated the second best in the whole United States over these 3 years. And he's going to, I think, lay out some more things that help us get that done. I'm proud to really represent this area, and I believe that the citizens should be very, very proud of the governor and the way that we've been able to move the state in this direction. It has not been easy. Has not been without
right.
conflict. I'll tell you, that is part of the job, but if I want a great place and you want a great place for your kids and grandkids to grow up, we need to do some of these things.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, senior citizens. We got a big $20 raise for the whole year from Social Security. I was wondering if the state could consider some type of legislation that would freeze any additional costs for senior citizens, whether that be increase in license fees or, you know what I'm getting at? Just try to freeze that everybody's increasing a $10 bill here and a $5 bill there, and yet everybody thinks, well, that's no big deal. And yet, for a senior that's strictly dependent on Social Security, it's a very big deal. And I just wish that, Arlen, you could take a look at some of the frustrations that seniors are facing.
Interesting. I have to say there isn't much activity on that right now. We've basically been looking at how do we make it fair for everyone, and that does hurt some people. So, and also then we have to look at, if we're going to exempt one group from cost increases, why not another group? So you have an equity question. I'm not saying it isn't something we shouldn't look at. I'm saying it does make you ask other questions, and maybe isn't helpful all the way around.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And we have another call coming in. I believe we do. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hello. I was wondering exactly how much we stand to lose on our homestead exemption this year from the Michigan people, because I depend on that to live, because I, too, am a senior citizen, and there's no possible way to live on Social Security, and even what little money I had, which I don't anymore, was taxed by the state, considered a pension, the 401s, everything else, and I am wondering what we stand to lose once again.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think you will see the same result on your tax return if your income and your housing value is the same. You will see the same return. Under the changes that we made, for some people with other properties and other things, their values, their return actually went down because it did, and other ones will stay the same. So it won't change. If your valuations haven't changed, it probably will not change. And I double check on that, and if the caller who just called, if you want to follow up more with my office, please do so, because I'll double check that for you.
Okay, you want to give them the number?
517-373-6920.
Okay. Good morning, online with our guest.
How about if they repeal the pension tax that they just stuck on the senior citizens a couple of years ago? Also, I see where the state house is trying to give oil companies a tax break on fracking, a couple percent more. Why are they doing that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't see the information on the House on fracking. Amazingly, though, fracking has really reduced our energy costs here in Michigan from what it could have been. So maybe there's somebody who wants to incent them to do more. I don't know. I obviously didn't read that. One of the ideas is to lessen or change something in the pension tax that we had done prior to, before. But if we do that now, we're changing back, and we're going to have this fairness question again. Some people are paying taxes when they remove their money from the 401k, but people on pensions weren't paying any taxes. Now it's for people that are above a certain age limit. Their pensions are going to be, under a certain age limit, their pensions are going to be taxed. Again, that was a fairness issue. But one of the questions is out there, can we do something different there? So I think that's something we'll consider as well.
Okay.
And trivia. Ask the Vet is presented by Mapleview Animal Hospital on Holland's hometown homepage, WHTC.com.
All right, we're here with Senator Arlen Meekhoff this morning, and if you have questions, 395-1450. All right, Arlen, you wanted to mention something about the events next Monday.
That's right. This weekend is Right to Life weekend, and there's a number of events go on. A lot of churches are having their discussions around the Roe v. Wade decision that was a number of years ago. So Sunday, the 19th, is Right to Life Sunday. And then Monday, January 20th, Holland Right to Life is sponsoring a walk. And I generally go to this every year with my wife and some other folks, and it starts at 7 p.m. It's at Centennial Park, and then there's a service afterward at Central Avenue. Again, sanctity of life is something of which I've long been a proponent of because of my background as being an adopted person, but it way precedes my involvement in politics at any point. I believe the value that we place on life has something to do with the way we treat people all year round, regardless of their condition of their life. They all have value. They all are precious in God's eyes, and they all have value, and they all need to be preserved or supported in some way. So if you hadn't remembered that event is this coming Monday, please come out and join us for the Right to Life Walk, and then do what you can at your churches and other social organizations to be a supporter of Right to Life.
Good morning. You're online with the Senator.
Hi, Duke. If seniors are so hard up, why do you see so many of them in casinos? Thank you.
Thank you.
Probably because they get a free bus ride there, and there's incentives for them to go there. So I suppose that's a choice that they've made. And whether that's beneficial or not, I guess is up to them, or if they're seeing it as entertainment. But those are personal choices not everybody agrees with.
Well, anyone who has to live on Social Security only has a tough road to hoe, and have had all these years.
Yeah, there haven't been much increases, and hopefully they've done some other things to supplement their income. I know a lot of folks are planning differently. For those folks that are 40 and under, they're probably planning that there won't ever be a Social Security, so hopefully they're making those retirement plans accordingly.
I really don't think that'll happen.
Well, and then we have to also acknowledge that, when Social Security was put in, it was, we were a society where people weren't living as long.
Right.
And now a lot of people will be retired longer than they ever worked. So there's going to be payments going out to folks in Social Security far greater than what they've ever paid in.
And of course, you only paid 1% on your income at that time.
Yeah, well, yeah. And at that point, there were a lot more people that were paying into it than there were people drawing from it. And now it's almost 2-1, it's almost the other way around. So at some point, it doesn't support itself.
So they still have one thing they could do that they haven't talked about doing, and that is to have people pay all wages.
Hmm. Hmm. I guess we'd have to ask Congressman Heising about that if that was something we would do.
I don't know. It seems to me that would be a practical thing to do to help increase the income to Social Security.
That's right, because there's a level at which after that you don't pay
into
Social Security. Interesting.
And I haven't hit that level for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever hit that level. I don't even know what it is.
Right.
I'm on a fixed income, too, just fixed from the citizens.
Right. Thank you very much, Arlen, for being our guest this morning here on Talk the Town.
Thank you, Duke.
And I will be back after news and weather and more Talk the Town for you. And it's all coming your way here on WHTC in Holland. Stick around. We'll try to make it worth your while coming up in the 11 o'clock segment.